good afternoon, Molly. Really glad that you could come here. Maybe you can introduce yourself shortly.
Yep, I'm Molly Scott-Cato. I'm the Green MEP for South West England and Gibraltar. And prior to being elected to the European Parliament, I was a professor of green economics.
That's really nice for this sustainable finance podcast. My name is Dirk Schoenmaker. I'm a non-residential fellow at Bruegel working on sustainable finance. And we have this EU action plan, and you are rapporteur on that in the parliament. What are the key elements for you on this EU action plan on sustainable finance?
So the action plan is very wide ranging, actually. And the role I played really was launching an initiative report in the parliament, which is just like a way of the parliament deciding what its views were across a whole range of issues. And we had quite a strong political support. I mean, almost all the groups supported the report in the end, and it was quite radical in its proposals. And now the Commission has brought forward a range of legislative proposals based on the work of their high-level group. Their high-level group published a report, I think, back in January, and now, you know, there's an action plan growing out of that. So I think the important thing to say is that everybody has a role to play. This is about how we're going to fund the sustainability transition. I'm going to risk a statistic here and say I think it's about £180 billion we need to invest, which is obviously a vast amount of money. So it's important to say that some of that money will be public money. So yep. We're going to have to make sure that, we do allow tax and spend to cover things like infrastructure, much better roads, for example, electric car charging points, you know, the sort of infrastructure we need that's public to ensure we can have sustainable lifestyles. But more of the proposals we're working on at the moment are actually about the private sector. So that is an enormous amount of money. But on the other hand, there's already an enormous amount of money, just a lot of it is invested in destructive things. And so the purpose of sustainable finance is to really move that towards sustainable sectors. So, for example, moving money from a coal mine, let's say a pension has some assets in a coal mine, we need to move that so that they're then holding assets in a renewable wind farm, basically. That's the kind of agenda.
Yeah. And what do you think is the key driver of the plan which will make the private sector move from the brown to the green?
I don't think there is one single thing. I think it's a wide-ranging agenda, and we have to do a whole lot of things. So the first three proposals we've got, there's one called the taxonomy proposal, and that's just about defining what is sustainable, what is a sustainable investment. And then there's two which we're working on right now. I've just come from a meeting about the one on benchmarks. So effectively, that's saying if you have a lot of money, let's say you're a public pension fund or a municipal pension fund, you have a huge amount of money to invest. Those sort of organizations tend to be passive investors, which means they'll just pick an index and follow it, and all the companies in it will benefit from that investment. At the moment, there aren't any indexes like that that are sustainable. Well, the 0.3 of the market claims to be sustainable indexes, but nobody's really clear, and there's quite a lot of greenwashing. So the Commission has proposed two low carbon benchmarks, effectively, which means that if the pension fund follows that index, then it will be only investing in companies that are aligned with the Paris Agreement. Anyway, the Commission's original proposal we didn't like so much, so we're trying to change that. So we also have a transition benchmark, which means that even companies which you wouldn't traditionally think of as being sustainable can get hold of that investment if they put themselves on a trajectory to move towards sustainability over a certain time period, and they can prove that they're doing that.
That's really nice, because we are in a transition, and we have to recognize that some companies have to move from A to B. And I think that's very good that the parliament is adding that to the debate, because not everybody is green yet.
No, and the thing is, we have to introduce dynamism into the debate, but we have to balance, you know, our sense of desperate urgency. And as a Green, obviously, I wish we'd started doing this 30 years ago. But, you know, we're very late in the day, so it's hard not to get a real sense of urgency and say, just chuck all those fossil assets out tomorrow. But we know that if we did that, there's so much other value depending on them that we would actually just create systemic crisis. So we have to work out how to make an orderly transition as quickly as possible away from fossil assets particularly, and then all sustainable assets.
And in that way, the front runners, they are already doing it. So if you really improve the other ones, we make a lot of progress. How do you see the financial industry picking this up, this topic?
I've really been very surprised by the amount of support we've had from the financial industry. I mean, they've sort of led this agenda in a way, and obviously two sectors in particular. On the one hand, pensions, because they have to think long term. Yeah. So they know that if we keep to the promises of the Paris Agreement, then a lot of the assets they're currently using to base people's pensions on won't have any value, because we're phasing out fossil fuels at least by the middle of the century. So that's one group that's been very supportive. And then on the other hand, we've had the insurance companies, because obviously they are already bearing the brunt of climate change. So they know that it's real, they know that it's destructive and that it's very costly. And so they also have a strong incentive to move the economy away from unsustainable assets. But having said that, I mean, you know, big banks, investment companies, they've all come to me and been very supportive and said, how can we help you take this agenda forward? So I do tend to meet their sustainability focused people. But all the same, you know, I think the finance sector is signed up to this and they seem to be very supportive. So that's very encouraging.
Exactly. It is really nice to see that this private and public sector are moving together. We talked a lot about sustainable finance, but the big issue on the table, of course, is the price for carbon. And then we have the ETS system and we have some kind of exemptions like aviation. What do we need to do on that front, on the carbon tax, on the ETS system?
Well, really, the sad thing here is that in 1992, the European Commission proposed introducing a carbon tax. And sometimes I sort of sit there thinking, what great place we'd be in now if actually some states hadn't blocked that in the council. And the reason we've ended up with the emissions trading system instead is that that could be agreed by qualified majority. And so, you know, anyway, it's a failure really of European policy making that we didn't get a price on carbon 20 years ago, you know, 26 years ago, actually. Imagine the difference if we'd done that. But anyway, having said that, you know, the ETS system is what we've got. It's got significant problems. As you said, shipping and aviation are outside it. There's various licenses are given away to heavy energy companies for free, effectively. Yeah. And so it's got all sorts of loopholes. I mean, the current revision seems to be better because, you know, there's no point in having a carbon market if the price collapses. Effectively, there's no limit at all. And that's happened twice with the previous round. It seems that the new revision is more effective. I mean, I think the last time I looked, the price of a ton of carbon was about 20 euros. Yeah. But to be honest, it needs to be at least 100 euros to really start making any difference. So ETS is all we've got, but it's nothing like effective enough. And I personally think it's time to bring back a proposal for a carbon tax. I know that President Macron's in favour of that. I think we need to get the commission behind that at the beginning of the next mandate and really bring that in. So there's a clear price on carbon and it's clear that it's increasing as well. That's what will really shift the economy rapidly.
And it is so important for decisions. I'm from the Netherlands and we are discussing extending Schiphol, our airport, without taking a future carbon tax into account. And then if the carbon tax hits in, then flying will reduce and there is no extension needed. Mm. So,
well, this is the same with Heathrow, the same thing in London. So, I think people know that we have to end fossil fuels, but what's really bizarre is that everybody's still flying around the world just as much. I mean, I'm known as the MEP who doesn't fly. You know, I said at the beginning of my mandate I'd fly once and I've managed to do that. So obviously it's more difficult for other people because I can use Eurostar. But literally, people just think that that's a completely free thing that you can just choose whenever you fly. And they're being encouraged to fly more. They're being subsidized to fly. Yeah. And, you know, there's no attempt to limit demand on flying. So, I mean, carbon tax, you know, and a carbon tax on aviation fuel and bringing aviation within the ETS are all essential, but I also think we need a frequent flyer levy and one flight a year. I mean, I don't think people should take that, but if they want to have a foreign holiday, and you know, we do live in Northern Europe, it's pretty miserable a lot of the time, so maybe we could justify that. But anything more than one flight a year needs to become very expensive and people just shouldn't be doing that.
And the figures are very clear, like 60 euros in Europe, it is 100 and on international flights, you would get 300-400 euro added up. But I think if we conclude, I think the message is very clear from you. Sustainable finance is picking up, and that's good news. But we still keep on working on the carbon tax, and then we may hope for a good future. Do you have any final message?
Well, just to say that it doesn't really need to be a political debate, you know. I mean, we still argue about how firms should be managed and what's an appropriate level of profit and all those things. But whether or not we want to ensure that there's a future, you know, a civilized future for human beings on the planet, doesn't need to be a political debate, in my view. And that does seem to be how we're going, that there's a general agreement and strong political support. So at the moment, it's looking very positive.
Okay, now then we end on this optimistic note. And thanks a lot for your time.